Hello and welcome to the IFSEC Global Security Podcast. I'm Adam Bannister, the Content Manager for IFSEC Global. I'm delighted to introduce for our first podcast Dr. Simon Moores. A government advisor on cybercrime and information security, Dr. Moores discusses the opportunities and challenges posed to modern cities by smart technologies. Dr. Moore, who has been named one of the top 8 thought leaders in UK tech by tech.co, is speaking at IFSEC International 2015, Europe's premier security show at London's Excel in June. Hi Simon, thanks for joining us today. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Morning, I'm a strategic technologist, if you like. I like to think about the future, the technologies that are impacting rapidly downstream in that future within the next 5 years. I also look a great deal at the implications of security, information security, cybersecurity, cyber warfare, how again that's impacting on big businesses, how that surrounds issues which involve big data, how they protect their assets, their intellectual property. So a raft of kind of converging topics, but most related to what the future looks like, surrounding data, surrounding technologies, surrounding society and the economy in which we live, including things like cities as well.
Thanks, Simon. We're very lucky to have you speaking at IFSEC International 2015 this year. Could you tell us a bit about what you're going to be talking about?
Well, I was asked to speak at IFSEC not only about the implications that are associated with modern information security, protecting one's data, assets, intellectual property, as I mentioned previously, but also to think about what's up and coming for tomorrow's, inverted commas, smart cities. The Singapores, the Dubais, potentially the Londons of this world. And I was saying earlier on that I actually managed to buttonhole Boris on his bicycle not so long ago, and I did ask him if he had any plans to take some of the initiatives from New York and actually apply them into London. And Boris, being Boris, kind of ruffled his hair and said, "Ask somebody else," and then disappeared into the distance with his bicycle. But certainly London is a major hub, and I'm in Singapore next month. I'm in Hong Kong the day before I actually speak at your conference. And so hopefully I'll be able to bring back some new ideas about all the related topics, security, Internet of Things, smart cities, and much more, and try and blend them into a presentation that will make, I guess, it interesting for people attending your conference.
It sounds fascinating, really looking forward to it. Who do you think it would be most relevant, interesting for in terms of audience groups?
Well, I think it's anybody who has an interest in what the future might look like, what the challenges are, the risks, the implications, because also we're talking about security, how the Internet of Things might play into big business into the future. What should they be thinking of in regard to leveraging big data, which is a huge challenge for all companies, as this is the most popular thing out there at the moment. So it doesn't really matter which environment, which organization they come from, but if they have a particular interest in what the future might look like, or what I think the future might look like, and what the implications are for their business, then I hope to be able to give them something interesting during my presentation.
Great. What's your take on how cyber threats are evolving? Does the Internet of Things actually increase vulnerability in some ways in terms of the greater interconnectedness of everything?
That's such a huge question, and when I leave you, I'm speaking at a conference in London. Cyber threats, evolution into what they call polymorphic threats. The world's changed dramatically in 15 years. Once upon a time, it used to be vandalism. Now it's cyber criminals, highly organized, whether they be in Russia or in India or even Mexico, the drug cartels, doing their best to steal anything that has any value, or just harvesting data, because again, they're leveraging big data as well. Companies have to be prepared for or understand that the comfortable risk model which they were used to and which started some 15 years ago has changed absolutely completely as they move from a model of probabilities to one of uncertainty. What they call the black swan effect, unknown unknowns, and I can tell long stories about that. But it's trying to educate people into grasping that the nature of risk itself has changed, and as a consequence, we need to reevaluate the way in which we look at these threats, anticipate them, mitigate and remediate. all long words, but how on earth do we deal with all these threats that the security industry is battling to deal with?
So how can individual businesses actually deal with these threats? How can they protect themselves?
Well, businesses can adopt the most common sense policies out there, looking after their assets, obviously making sure that they have the best people in place, the policies and the procedures. There's a lot of guidance out there. But I think the most important thing today is you need to look at risk from basically a hacker's perspective. What is the single point of failure, perhaps, in your organization? And I'll draw on a story, I might use it at the event. The famous novelist Ernest Hemingway was asked once, how did you go bankrupt? And he replied, slowly and then suddenly. And I think that kind of sums up where information security is today. Because you don't know for sure whether somebody is on your network now, or perhaps has already stolen your data. But there's a very high probability, if you look at, for example, the crime records here in the UK, that your data has already been compromised in one way, manner, or form. And you have to try and anticipate that. You have to try and think like the bad guys, and also take into account the dangers as such that if your data has been stolen, how do you remediate it, and how do you best make sure that if data or intellectual property has been stolen, that you are in a position to protect your customers and indeed the reputation of your company.
And where do you expect we'll see the most profound changes in how cities operate and function?
Well, when we were chatting over a cup of coffee, I mentioned that I'm Singapore in April, and then I'm speaking at your conference the day after I come out of Hong Kong. London is a major hub city as well. We're seeing this incredible convergence of miniaturized intelligent technologies, whether they be beacons, whether they be RFID chips, whether they be things like hives or nests in the home, obviously. Tomorrow is going to look like a swarm of interconnected devices out there. And that's going to have a huge impact on the way in which we relate to our environment, and particularly the cities in which we live, as more and more of what we do becomes automated and more of what we do becomes a data stream, a data source. So a big challenge for a city like London perhaps is learning from a big city like New York, which has also achieved a great deal. And that is how you actually leverage the big data, the data streams that are starting to become available, and make sure that it makes your own environment more cost-effective, much safer, much secure, more secure, and gives a much better quality of life to the people who live in those same cities. And you can see examples starting to appear in places like Singapore and Dubai and elsewhere. And it's a big challenge for a city like London.
Okay. So would you say the smart cities paradigm is at the I'll know it when I see it phase? Or has it gone beyond that now? Has it become something real?
I think if we look at the smart city paradigm, you just said I know it when I see it. If you haven't been to places like Dubai or indeed Singapore, and you wake up one morning there, you get a kind of an intrinsic kind of feeling that you've stepped into something which looks like a science fiction smart city. It's not quite something out of the future of Blade Runner movies or anything else out there, but you're starting to know it when you see it, when you get contactless payments, when hotels and shops started to recognize you, when you, for example, in my case, I was surprised to sit down at a restaurant in Singapore and there were iPads on the table, and you just picked your menu from your iPad. I couldn't quite imagine leaving iPads strewn around the tables of a McDonald's in London, but of course in Singapore you can do that. And the menu and the meal arrives a few minutes later. That kind of implies smart, but that also implies that level of connectivity that we're going to start seeing to the future. And with that, we're going to see a series of challenges. We're going to see a huge number of opportunities that go with it. And that's going to change the nature of life in our cities.
So in terms of traditional security businesses that perhaps haven't properly emerged from the analog area, what advice would you have to them in terms of how they can adapt to the Internet of Things and convergence generally?
Well, in this country, for example, we have a battery of CCTV cameras. We're seeing the evolution of drones now. And I saw an example just this week of a tiny drone, and it fitted just into the palm of your hand. just think of a future. It could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, but maybe less. That you're going to have swarms of these things flying around with miniature GoPro cameras monitoring things. Maybe replacing CCTV cameras, we know. Maybe also GPS connected, so you want something monitored, you send it off on its own. It's autonomous, it's intelligent. So for the hard security, the physical security space, that too is going to change beyond all recognition. In the same way that Microsoft is now using robots at his own campus to actually patrol those. Security itself is going to change in an unusual way, an unfamiliar way. It may indeed be an unpleasant way for some people. But certainly, if you're in the security business, the future is going to be a very, very exciting one. We're worrying about skills-related unemployment. That's going to have a big impact on our society in the future. I don't think politicians are quite prepared for it. But at the same time, we need to be aware that that will also create other jobs too. And if you think, for example, the arrival of the motor car in the United States, with the motor car, you had the development of roads, you had the development of cafes, you had the development of garages. Huge opportunities suddenly started to arrive as a consequence of the development and the arrival of one fast-moving opportunity. And I'd say the same thing is true for the future, that it's going to be skills-based, there are going to be opportunities there, certainly it's going to be driven by education. But it's not necessarily something to be frightened by. It's something that we can all take opportunities, or we can still recognize the opportunities there. But it's one that may catch us by surprise. So you can have a dystopic view, but the opportunities still exist for those who are prepared to take them.
There's a lot of stuff for smart cities going on around the world in places like Dubai, India. What are the challenges of doing something similar in Europe?
I was telling a story earlier on when you kindly gave me a cup of coffee. And that was 15 years ago, I was speaking at the Emirates Forum in Dubai, and I had the great privilege of sitting down to dinner with the ruler of Dubai and the former Prime Minister of Australia. And what occurred to me at the time was, obviously, Dubai was my first visit. It was quite staggering what had been achieved. And obviously what I noticed at the same time was that if you presented a good idea to the ruler of Dubai, then it was going to happen very, very swiftly indeed. One of the challenges of living in our great democracy is things happen by committee. And I think this is one of the challenges perhaps we face in a great city like London, is I don't personally get a sense, and I may be wrong, that anybody is specifically tasked with directing the opportunity that we see in our own great city of making it a smart city. I may be wrong, we may see changes after the general election, but this is what I like to see in the future, that perhaps there is a government department particularly tasked with creating smart cities, with somebody perhaps in charge of cities like London, of Manchester and Edinburgh, and getting a joined up feeling rather than getting a more distributed feeling, which is what I get at the moment. But I say, I may be wrong, but I still get that sense.
As a futurologist, what's your vision for how security will develop? I mean, can you imagine security guards being replaced by robots, for instance? How do you see physical security and cyber security coming together?
You ask about physical security and you ask about cyber security, and very often they're seen different. You know, you get hard, you get CCTV cameras, and then you get somebody looking after a web server and all the bits and bytes running in there. They're kind of worlds in collision, because into the future now we're starting to see the opportunities in the security space, which are driven by artificial intelligence, which are driven by robotics, and which are driven by very small devices like the small drone I mentioned earlier on, which fits in the palm of your hand. And in a couple of years' time, it'll have a better battery, it'll be able to fly off, GPS regulated, and do its own thing intelligently, filming at the same time. Now, that raises all kinds of privacy questions and other things besides. But it means that if you're in the harder security space, your industry is going to change, perhaps out of recognition. If you think of the coming of the car as opposed to the horse at the beginning of the last century, or the telephone, how did the radio impact security? How did GPS? How did video cameras? How did CCTV? Within the next 5 years, we're probably going to see a leap in the security space, which is kind of equivalent to seeing the arrival of the CCTV camera. Yeah. As a raft of converging technologies start to come together, like drones, mobile cameras, robotics, like the kind of thing which is protecting Microsoft's plant now, and a lot more. And so people in the security space are going to have a much more technical role than they ever had before in the past. And that's going to start to converge with the digital security space as they start to merge and become one. And perhaps within a decade or so, it's going to be very, very difficult to tell the difference between the two. So if you are in the physical security space, looking at the arrival of a skills-based economy in the future, where jobs are going to start being pressured from the top and also from the bottom, squeezed, if you like, skills, education are going to be absolute priorities, because through our lives now, in future, you cannot rely on having one job. You're going to have to rely on skilling all the way along. And I'll give you one example from my past. Years ago, maybe 30 years ago, one of my first jobs was working in Saudi Arabia, and that gave me the money to be able to invest in education elsewhere. And I was teaching in Saudi Arabia. And I had a friend who worked for an oil company. I was coming to the end of my contract. And I said to him one day, Peter, how can I get a job with your oil company? Because they have really good benefits here. And he said to me, okay. He said, what can you do? And I said, I'm a teacher. He said, no, but what can you do? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves as we move into the 2020s. It's not what you did in the past, it's what you can do in the future with the skills that society is going to be demanding of you, particularly the technical skills. So if you're in any job, regardless of whether teaching or security or anything else, the question you need to ask yourself now is, what can I do? Because people are going to expect skills of me in the future that I might not have today.
That's fascinating stuff. Thanks a lot, Simon. And just a reminder that Dr. Simon Moores will be one of the keynotes at ISEC International 2015, which takes place 16th to 18th of June at London XL. If you'd like to find out more about the ISEC Global Security Podcast, just go to ISECglobal.com/podcast, where you can also register for ISEC International. Until next time, see you later.